are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
Ezekiel chapter 33. I'm going to speak for a moment and then we're going to pray. Verse 1, the Bible says, again the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. Everybody say watchman. Say it again, say watchman. That's everybody, not three people. Everybody say watchman. We don't have any signs here that say silence church. You better do some talking in this church, because if you can't talk, you're not going to pray. Amen. Says, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning. If the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning shall save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood, listen now, I will require at the watchman's hand. I know it's Old Testament, but I'm going somewhere. So you, son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth, and you will warn them, the people, the house of Israel, or the church of Jesus Christ for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his ways, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his own iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if your transgression and our sin lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. How many of you know tonight that God doesn't want people to go to hell? Shout a big amen. Amen. How many of you know that you and I have everything to do about stopping people from going to hell? Shout a big amen. Amen. Bible says, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? I want to read verse number 7 again. He says, So son of man, I have made you a watchman over your family, over your neighborhood, over your university, over your business, over a city, over a nation. For the house of Israel, therefore you shall hear the word from my mouth and warn them for me. I want to tell you tonight that we're living in a very urgent hour. We have a lot of joy in church, a lot of fun in church, but we're living in a very urgent hour. People are dying right around us, and we should not stand on the riverbank and watch people drown in sin and go to hell. We are responsible for this generation, not to fly away to glory one day, but to make a difference in the lives of our friends, the lives of our family. We are here to stand between the living and the dead. God has set us as watchmen in our generation. Say a good amen. Amen. Things are being shaken all around us. People are grasping around for answers. There are people sitting here tonight watching the live stream. I'm sorry to say that you may not see the new year. I'm not prophesying death and doom. I'm stating a fact, because we have tens of thousands of people connected to this service right now. The reality is there are people watching, and there are people that would not see 2017. That's a fact. Some of our friends, some of our relatives, some of the people we want to go party with on a Friday night. When God saved you, it was because he had other people on his mind. You as well, but other people as well. So we can't have this casual Christianity. We can't stroll through life as if this is not an urgent hour. God comes to the prophet very clearly, and he says, I've set you as a watchman over the house of Israel. If you stand here tonight, or sit here tonight as a pastor, you're a watchman over a district. If you're a businessman, you're a watchman over your business. If you're a politician, you're a watchman. Every one of you tonight. You have been called by God to be a watchman over people in your life, your family. I want you to think about it tonight. The people in your family, your immediate family, your ooms, your tannies, your neefs, your niggies, your klein neef, your klein niggie, your achter klein kant. How many of those people are not saved? If they die tonight, where will they be? There is no purgatory. There is no second chance. There is no, it is okay. People who die without Jesus are doomed for eternity. And God comes through the prophet and he talks to the church and he says, I've set you as the watchman to stand between the living and the dead, to warn them. And God makes it pretty clear, it's not God's will for any to perish. God doesn't want your cousin to go to hell. God doesn't want your grandmother to go to hell. God doesn't want your great-grandchildren to go to hell. God doesn't want the people who study with you to go to hell. God doesn't want your friends at school to go to hell. God doesn't want the other musicians to go to hell. God doesn't want the other rugby players to go to hell. Shout a big amen and give the Lord a praise tonight. Come on. We're not here to play church. I said we're not here to play church. The church is one generation away from failure. And revivals always die not one generation later, but two generations later. Because people normally catch the fire from the generation that carry the baton. But when they take the baton and they have to hand it to their children, they don't know how to give it. Then that generation doesn't know how to pray because they are on a platform of momentum. So they misinterpret what caused the move of God in the first place. I want to talk about the ministry of a watchman tonight, and I pray that God gets a hold of somebody. That somebody will be stirred here tonight, that you will go jump on your telephone, your cell phone, and you will phone your cousin, the one that's backslidden. You know which one I'm talking about. You will go phone your brother, because you are the last hope of that person. Your life is not about you. I can't stand on this platform and entertain you all night and half of you go to hell. What does it help if I entertain you on the rugby field and kick a ball better than anybody else, but you still go to hell? You gave me a good moment and I'm appreciative of that. But then when you put on the green and the gold, will you open your mouth and will you testify? And will you talk that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? Will you tell people what it's really all about? Come on, when you get your prize, when you get your reward, when you get your promotion, will you be real and tell people that there's a heaven, there is a hell? Will you tell people to make right with God, to make their peace with God, to reconcile with God because God reconciled you? Oh, come on, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I mean, it's like people watch people float down the Niagara River in a little dinghy, and there are those falls just a few hundred meters away. And there the church is on the side camping, and hello, how's it? Knowing that they're going over the edge of the river. See you next week. No, you won't. See you later, alligator. No, you won't. In a while, maybe not. Maybe not, because sometimes we want to be popular and lose our impact. We're more concerned about what people think about us than what heaven thinks about us. So God tells us that we are responsible for this generation. The baton is in our hands. We are responsible for our families. We are responsible for our children. We are responsible for our brothers and our sisters. Are you listening to me tonight? We are responsible for our universities. We are responsible for our neighborhoods. We are responsible for our cities. We are responsible for our nation. Come on, somebody jump on your feet and shout the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So as watchmen, we are called to blow the trumpet. We are called to warn our generation. Amen. And when I talk about warning people, we're not talking about the old way where you stand with a placard and you tell prostitutes you're going to hell and you tell homosexuals you're the enemy of God and you shout hellfire and brimstone. We're not talking about that. So when you talk about indecision and you talk about the ministry of the watchman warning Many Christians want to get all legalistic. Well, you're not going to save anybody with legalism. You will save only a few people with fear. But if you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will save multitudes. Hallelujah. When you shine the light, people will come to Christ. So we are called to warn people that Jesus is coming. Do you believe it? So what you're doing what you're doing. You believe Jesus is coming like a thief in the night? You believe Jesus? So how come you're doing what you're doing? Or how come you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing? It's a question. Do you believe Jesus is coming? Huh? And if he comes, how many of your friends are going with you? How many of your family? When I got saved, whenever I got to my family gatherings, my ooms, my tannies, my nieks, my nuggies, we have a big family. Big family, okay? So first, before we were born again, our uncles and aunts warned everybody, don't hang out with the Bossoffs. Now, my brother's in heaven. I'm still alive because we were a bad influence. You see, we were radical sinners. We were not lukewarm sinners. When we sinned all the way. I didn't go to church. I didn't read my Bible. I didn't act religious. I was a sinner. It's the person that's in the world and in the church. He's the problem. When I sinned, I sinned. But when I got saved, I got saved. I wasn't one of those guys who sin and I go smoke behind the tuck shop, or I go to the party and I take a bottle of alcohol and I drink so nobody sees me. No, I was the one that would drink in front of everybody. I would get onto the table, get on your face, sit as a 14-year-old, smoke in a public place with that spirit of rebellion in me. I didn't care what people think. Well, how come we care now what people think after we're born again? You didn't care to make a fool of yourself before you were saved. Now you don't want to make a fool of yourself for Jesus Christ. Come on. Oh, come on, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, many of you were fools, and some of you still are, sad to say. Alcohol getting the better of you, and you change into another person. I'm not condemning you. I'm saying, what's up, Jack? That you can tell your jokes, and you can do whatever you do out there in the world, but now you're a child of God, and you've become all quiet. Well, you know, I reckon if you can serve the devil well, you can serve God better. I said, if you can serve the devil well, you can serve God better. Come on! Not half-hearted. Not a little bit of the world and a little bit of Jesus. A little bit of Monica, a little bit of compromising my life, a little bit of lukewarmness in my life, a little bit of apathy in my life, a little bit, 11, 11's the whole lump. So if you don't know who you are, how will the world know who you are? If you aren't clear about who you are, people will not be clear about who you are. Who are you? So when we went to family functions, everybody was scared of us. Everybody was afraid of us. My cousin said to me, one of my cousins that was afraid to hang out with me, he said to me after I got saved, they said, oh, I can only say the English back in English. I said, yeah. Jy het altyd oor gehel na die een kant toe. Nou hel jy oor na die ander kant toe. Jy gaan eendag die balans kry. Want is nou net kerk en Jesus. Maar voordat jy nou hierdie ervaring gehad het, die wedergeboorte gehad het, was dit mos nou net sonde. Jy kon nie ophou drink nie, jy kon nie genoeg vloek nie, jy was altyd hierdie nou. Now I've not found that he spoke about. Come on, I've just become more radical for Jesus Christ. Come on, because when the Holy Ghost changes you, you are changed forever in the name of Jesus. Come on, there's no going back. The cross before me and the world behind me. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, I'm talking to a young person. We need a youth revival. Somebody that will praise God when nobody else will. Somebody that will stand when everybody else is quiet. So my family never asked me to witness, but they made the mistake the first few years at our gatherings. because they now knew I was in Bible school, so they asked me to pray for the food. And guess what I did? I put the Romans Road in there. Romans chapter 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I put Romans 6 verse 23 in, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I put Romans 5 verse 18 there, while we were sinners, God demonstrated His grace by His love by sending Jesus Christ. Come on, I put Romans 10 verse 9 and 10, that if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you and you confess with your mouth God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. With a heart man believeth unto righteousness, with a mouth man confession is made unto salvation. I put the salvation message in my prayer. And then, by the way, Seegen Vader, Seegen Eet, and laat ons nimmer U vergeet, and amen. Well, they wised up after a while not to ask us anymore, because they were sitting there with their whatever. They were wanting to have a good time until they ask me to pray. Then they have to think about God. They have to think about heaven. They have to think about their lives. Amen. I mean, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Not condemn people, not judge people, but are we not supposed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that in the business world where we are, that we are the ambassadors of Christ, and we warn people, not with judgment and condemnation. We don't point out the sin of people. That's why when you stand with your placard, or today people don't stand with their placards on street corners, they stand with their social media, and they judge and condemn people, the sinners in this world. And that's not on, my brother and my sister, because you will not turn people to Christ with an attitude of judgment and condemnation. So when the Bible talks about warning people, it is to warn them that Jesus is coming. It's to tell them that there is no other salvation. Acts chapter 4 verse 12, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. There is no other name. And if you reject God's offer for salvation, there is no other redemption. Jesus is the only way. So that's what Ezekiel says in the Old Covenant. Our responsibility is to warn people. And if they don't listen to us, they cannot stand before God one day and say, I never heard the gospel. Because I believe every human being should hear the gospel at least once in their lifetime. Come on. There's a lot of people in South Africa that haven't heard the gospel of Jesus preached yet. They've heard religion, but they've not heard the gospel of Jesus. Say amen in the name of Jesus. So we're not yet to preach our pet doctrine, our condemnation. We had to tell that person going down the Niagara River, I mean, he knows he's a sinner. We're not there to tell him, you're going to die. You're going to go to hell. No. We're there to throw a lifeline, to say that God loves you in spite of your sin, that Jesus died for you. There is peace for you. There is place for you at the foot of the cross. Be reconciled to God. You're not the enemy of God. God is your friend. God loves you. God is not out to get you. God is out to bless you. Come on. God is out to love you. God is out to heal you. God is out to deliver you. We have to stand in our world and shout it out from the rooftops. Come on, somebody. Practice in church tonight. Shout, Jesus loves you. Oh, you hear it every Sunday, but people out there in the world don't know it. Just try it. Bring Jesus in your prayer as a businessman. Not when you sit with six people and there's a big contract on the table and it's now time, the food has come. Now you go with your apologetics and it's like, you're not going to pray with everybody. So all you do is like, you've got a headache, or you quickly go like, bless him, sir, amen. I've learned there is power in the name of Jesus. I bring the name of Jesus everywhere. That all you have to do is say, we're going to, can I pray over this meal today? And you say, Father, in Jesus' name, pause. Bless the food. Amen. And you watch the atmosphere change. I mean, He's given us a name that is above every other name. He's given us a name like no other name. Come on. He's given us a name that is exalted above every other name. Come on. That at the mention of that name, every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven, things on the earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Oh, make the devil mad today and shout, Jesus Christ is Lord in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Not yet to play church. God has set us as watchmen in this generation. We are appointed by God. The baton is in our hand. And just like Jesus, we should be about our Father's business, not our business. Kingdom business. Souls. James chapter 5 verse 19, the Bible says, brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. How many of you know people that have left the way? Lift your hand. Don't say amen, just lift your hand. Oh, some of you are not alive. Okay. Because it's impossible to serve Christ and not know people that have departed. Except if you got saved this morning. And what are you doing? Huh? Sitting in your lazy boy while people are drifting down the Niagara. Debating about race. Debating about anything and everything that doesn't pertain to eternity. Debating about baptism. Groot doop, klein doop. Get baptized, man. Get baptized. Word gedoop. Druk die beskuit in die koffie. Word gedoop in Jesus' naam. Get baptized. Man, should we baptize people in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Should we baptize people? I mean, and churches get divided on trivial nonsense like that. And if you read the Bible, it's not an issue. Because the Bible, sometimes they baptize people in the name of Jesus. Sometimes in the name of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he commanded us, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So it doesn't matter. Just baptize the sucker. Get him under the water. Bury the sin nature in the name of Jesus Christ. Get on with the gospel and preach the gospel to people and stop your religion. I mean, when I was lost, a sinner, bound by many stuff in my life, I didn't care about religious people shouting at me. Because religious people make you feel bad. I always felt bad going to church because I knew how bad I was. Because nobody preached the gospel to me. People look at you, you go to church like, what did the cat bring in here today? I don't go to church. That's a white man preaching up there. Wow. My. That God can actually use a white man. An Afrikaner white man. Wow. God made a huge mistake. Didn't God think that there would be apartheid and that there would be no place for a white preacher to preach to black people? I'm going to church. Those black people. Well, which heaven are you going to? Secondly, as watchmen, we are called to stand in the gap for our world. That means pray. No greater love with any man than to lay down his life for his friends. We pray. We don't talk. We don't criticize. We don't judge. We pray. The church's assignment is to pray. Listen. Because prayer changes things. Opinions don't. Opinions pollute people in the world. So watch what you post on your social media. Get the hate out of your heart. Get the anger out of your heart. If you weren't here this morning, I'll give you a message for free. But I mean, you can go to Livestream CRC, download everything. All our resources are free. We want people blessed. Amen. But let go of that bitterness, unforgiveness, man. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Yeah, but nothing. A goat butt. You're a sheep. You should, meh. Amen. 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 Not but. It's easy for you to talk as a white man. It's easy for you to talk as a pastor. It's easy for you to talk. It's really, really, Jackie. Where were you when I started? I've also been hurt. I have many scars. Thank you. Some from church people. God said to me once, the people closest to you will hurt you the most. Suck it up. Because the servant is not above his master. If they persecuted him, they'll persecute you as well. Because like any person, when people betray you and hurt you close to you, you want to go fall in the heap and say, but I've done nothing wrong. Well, did Jesus do anything wrong? No. So suck it up. Get up, dust yourself off, go preach the gospel, go love people, don't become cynical. Come on, bless more people in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you carry the scars of the journey that you have walked. And you carry the scars as a testimony of God's faithfulness, how the grace of God kept you, the grace of God sustained you, and how God carried you through. I'm telling you tonight that God is good. I'm telling you tonight that His mercy endures forever. I'm telling you that God is God, and there is no other God. There is no one who will love you the way that God loves you. Oh, come on. He loves you more than you've ever been loved in your life. And people out there in the world have to hear it. They have to hear it. Somebody telling them that God loves them without an agenda. Pray this prayer right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I give myself to you. I give my life to you. Thank you for loving me just as I am. I believe with all my heart you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Tonight I open my heart and I invite you to be my Lord and my Savior. Wash me in your blood. Give me a new beginning, a fresh start. Thank you for accepting me, for hearing my prayer, and for loving me just as I am. I can never be the same again. I am your child, now and forever. Thank you. I'm born again in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.